Just wanted to read a little about Shiva Baba, which I love to do before we start. Now I've lost my place. So as Srila Prabhupada was expanding his society, he was purchasing properties, establishing temples, buying land, guiding his disciples in all those processes, and taking the lead in many instances, especially in Bombay, Vrindavan. They were quite difficult projects for Srila Prabhupada and the devotees. So I just wanted to read one here about Prabhupada's acquisition of the Detroit temple. This is quite interesting. The Detroit Temple was located in an old brick house with a temple room in the third floor attic. The lease was soon to run out, and Govardhan, the temple president, was looking for a new place. He showed Prabhupada photos of the likely buildings, one of them a mansion of the late auto industry millionaire Lawrence Fisher. The place was probably too expensive, Govardhan said, and was located in a bad neighbourhood. But Prabhupada was interested. In fact, whatever the devotees cited as bad about the mansion, Prabhupada would say was actually good. Or at least could be easily rectified. As for the high crime rate in the area, he said, you'll have nothing to fear, just chant Hare Krishna and distribute prasadam. Invite all the neighbourhood people, thieves and rascals, to take prasadam and chant, and you won't have any thefts. Devotees emphasised that Detroit was the crime capital of the US, and that poor slum area where the mansion was located was known for drug trafficking, robberies and murders. But Srila Prabhupada repeated that they should not be afraid. I lived in the Bowery, he said, and he described how the bums used to urinate on his front door and lie across the doorway. But when he would come to the building, to enter the building, they would get up and say, yes, sir. Come on, sir. Get the place, Prabhupada said, and chant Hare Krishna there 24 hours a day. If a thief comes, we will say, yes, first take prasadam, and then take whatever you want. What do we have? Srila Prabhupada went to see the mansion with Govardhan, Ambarish, and several GBC men. They were met by the owner and a lady who introduced herself as a real estate agent. As the owner guided them on a tour, Prabhupada came to like the estate even more. The palatial building was situated on 4 acres, surrounded by a high stone wall. There were gardens and walkways now in disrepair, as well as fountains and a swimming pool. Some of the devotees thought the place get gaudy with its extravagant 1920s decor, but Srila Prabhupada saw the great potential. As soon as he entered the vestibule and saw the ornate Italian tiles and marble archways, he began to smile. The group entered the lobby, its high ceiling covered with classically sculptured leaves, rosettes, and hand-painted plaster flowers. Next, they entered the ballroom with its marble floor and high vaulted ceiling, painted to resemble an early evening sky, blue sky, with clouds and stars. Special lighting gave the effect of natural starlight. At the end of the hall, 3 marble arches exactly resembled the design Prabhupada had given for the deity altars in his temples. 3 altars could be installed there, and the ballroom made into a temple with very little renovation. Prabhupada did not comment to the owner on the ballroom's suitability, but to the devotees it was obvious. The tour then proceeded to the boat well, an indoor water garage capable of holding several yachts. The boat well opened into a channel. which opened into the nearby Detroit River. Prabhupada mentioned that the devotees could get a boat for their preaching. As Prabhupada and his entourage entered one gorgeous room after another, they saw the many carved stone columns, hand-painted floor and wall tiles from Italy and Greece, and ceilings ornamented with gold leaf figures. Rare antique crystal chandeliers adorned many of the rooms. There were living rooms, library rooms, a dining room, a billiard room, a music room, two master bedrooms, other bedrooms, all extravaganzas. "Each room is worth the entire price," said Prabhupada privately to the devotees. The owner spoke of Mayan, Moorish, Spanish, Greek and Italian influences and pointed out that the two hand-carved spiral columns in the dining room were salvaged from an ancient European palace. Wherever Śrīla-Prabhupāda looked, he saw opulence. An indoor marble fountain, a wall of iridescent tiles, hand-painted cornices. Even the large bathrooms were extraordinary, with glamorous imported tiles and gold-plated accents. The introductory tour completed, Prabhupada, his followers, the owner and the real estate agent sat together at an umbrella-covered patio table by the swimming pool. Already Śrīla Prabhupāda had mentioned to his disciples that the owner should donate the building for ISKCON's missionary purposes. And he had told Brahmananda Swami to make the request. Since the owner had not mentioned the price, Prabhupāda spoke up. Actually, Prabhupāda said the same about the city hall when he was in Chicago. He spoke to the city manager and he asked them to give them the building. So Prabhupada would shoot for whatever he could get and see what happened. So Prabhupada said, "So we are beggars," he began. He was serious and yet he spoke with an air of honour. Ambarish and Upendra hid their faces in embarrassment. "We have no money," Prabhupada continued boldly. "Therefore, we are asking you, please give us this building." The owner glanced incredulously at his real estate agent and then laughed nervously. "It's out of the question," he said. "I can't do that." The agent was also taken aback and upset. "He can't do that," she whispered. "I can't give it to you," explained the owner, "because I have taken a loss in maintaining this property. So I have to make my money back. This property represents a major part of my income." "Then," said Śrīla Prabhupāda, "how much do you want?" "Well," the man replied, "I have to get at least $350,000. None of the devotees dared say anything. Prabhupāda thought for a moment and then said, "We will give you $300,000 cash." "I'll have to think about it," the man replied. The real estate agent got to her feet, saying that the transaction like this is usually not done straight to the owner. But Prabhupada ignored her and spoke with the owner about how lovely the mansion was. Prabhupada then got up, took a short walk in the garden with his men. Govardhan asked Prabhupada if he liked it. Prabhupada said yes. Who would not like such a building? "Ambarish doesn't like it," said Govardhan. "Oh," said Prabhupada. Ambarish said he thought the mansion was Maya. "Yes," said Prabhupada, "but Maya is also Krishna. We can use anything in Krishna's service." Leaving the garden path and returning to their cars, Prabhupada asked Ambarish, "So, is this possible?" "Yes, Prabhupada, this is possible," said Ambarish. As soon as they returned to the temple, Ambarish and Lekashravanti conferred. Her inheritance was limited, but she was able to give $125,000. Ambarish had to come up with the balance. The next day, the owner came to see Śrīla Prabhupāda. The man was accompanied by two women, and they all appeared a little intoxicated. He had come to say that he had accepted the offer. Prabhupāda smiled and reaffirmed his intention to buy. Afterwards, Śrīla Prabhupāda openly showed his blissfulness about the purchase. "Just see," he said, "I didn't have one penny, and yet I offered him $300,000 in cash. And how Krishna has provided the money." As Prabhupada told the estate owner, "I am a sannyasi, I have no money. And after collecting $300,000 from his disciples, he still had no money. Within a few days, he left for Toronto, taking nothing for himself. Everything was Krishna's, to be used in Krishna's service. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
A reading from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 25, text number 1. Sonaka uvacha.
Sonaka uvacha.
Kapilastatva sankhyata.
Kapilastatva sankhyata.
Bhagavan Atma Maya
Jata
Swayam Jasakshat
Atma
Pragya Tayeninam Sonaka Uvacha Kapilas Tatva Sankhyata Bhagavan Atma Maya Swayam
Jasakshat
Atma Pragyaptaye Nina
Sonaka Uvacha
Kapilas Tatva Sankhyata Bhagavan Atma Mahayaya Jata Swayam Jasakshat Atma Pragyaptayena Sonaka Uvacha.
Sonaka Uvacha.
Sri Sonaka said,
Sri Sonaka said,
Kapila,
Kapila,
Lord Kapila,
Lord Kapila,
Tatva,
Tatva,
of the truth,
truth.
Sankhyata,
Sankhyata,
the expounder,
the expounder.
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Atma
Mayaya,
by
his internal potency.
By his internal potency.
Jata,
Jata,
took birth.
Took birth.
Swayam,
Swayam,
himself.
Himself.
Aja,
Aja,
unborn.
Unborn.
Sakshat,
Sakshat,
in person.
In person.
Atma,
Atma,
Pragyaptaye, to disseminate, transcendental knowledge,
Nrinam,
for the human race. Translation. Please repeat. Sri Sonak said,
although he is unborn,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead
took birth
as Kapila Muni
by his internal potency.
He descended
to disseminate transcendental knowledge
for the benefit
of the whole human race.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Atma Pragyaptaye indicates that the Lord descends for the benefit of the human race to give transcendental knowledge. Material necessities are quite sufficiently provided for in the Vedic knowledge, which offers a program for good living conditions and gradual elevation to the platform of goodness. In the mode of goodness, one's knowledge expands. On the platform of passion, there is no knowledge. For passion is simply an impetus to enjoy material benefits. On the platform of ignorance, there is no knowledge and no enjoyment, but simply life almost like that of animals. The Vedas are meant to elevate one from the mode of ignorance to the platform of goodness. When one is situated in the mode of goodness, he is able to understand knowledge of the self, or transcendental knowledge. This knowledge cannot be appreciated by any ordinary man. Therefore, since a disciplic succession is required, this knowledge is expounded either by the Supreme Personality of Godhead or by his bona fide devotee. So Nak Muni also states here that Kapila, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, took birth or appeared simply to appreciate and disseminate transcendental knowledge. Simply to understand that one is not matter but spirit, spirit soul, aham brahmasmi, I am by nature Brahman, is not sufficient knowledge for understanding the self and his activities. One must be situated in the activities of Brahman. Knowledge of those activities is explained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Such transcendental knowledge can be appreciated in human society, but not in animal society, as clearly indicated here by the word Ninam for the human beings. Human beings are meant for regulated life. By nature, there is regulation in animal life also, but that is not like the regulative life as described in the scriptures or by the authorities. Human life is regulated life, not animal life. In regulated life only can one understand transcendental knowledge. Translation once more. Sri Shanak said, although he is unborn, the Supreme Personality of Godhead took birth as Kapila Muni by his internal potency. He descended to disseminate transcendental knowledge for the benefit of the whole human race. So, in the creation of the mature world, Krishna does not simply abandon us, not cast us into eternal birth and death, and kissing us goodbye. Through his mercy, he comes constantly to encourage the living entities to come back to him. We're all originally Krishna conscious, Srila Prabhupada says. So that means we have eternal relationships with the Personality of Godhead. So we have chosen to turn away from Krishna, thinking ourselves the enjoyers. But he is always encouraging us to come back to him. So that's why he comes. And it's quite extraordinary, actually, that Krishna comes to this world. When you look at what goes on in this world, it's a very unfortunate place, full of unfortunate activities, especially if you look at the modern times. We're so far removed from what we would say is spiritual culture. If you look at modern society, it's a terrible situation. As Srila Prabhupada says, where is civilization? Where is civilization? He said, the mother is killing the child in the womb. What is the dearest thing to a mother? A good mother. It's the child, isn't it? So, the situation in Kali Yuga is the women are aborting the children. So, that's just one symptom of Kali Yuga. There are many symptoms. God comes to help, to try and encourage us to give up all of this nonsense in the material world and come back to him. So Kapila is such an incarnation who has come to disseminate knowledge for the upliftment of society. As we mentioned before, he comes quite regularly, and there are many different incarnations with different purposes. And our most recent incarnation of the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to give us an appropriate system of religion and self-realization in the current age. the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So I just wanted to mention a few verses in the Gita just to reinforce this fact of Krishna coming. Actually, Krishna said, Prabhupada says that Kapila Muni is non-different from Krishna. They are one and the same. So Krishna says in the Gita, Ajopi san abhyayatma bhutanam ishwaropi san prakritim swam adishtaya sambhavam yatmamayaya ida ida hidamasya agvani bhavati varata abhyutanam adhamasya tadatmanam srijamyam Vrutunaya sadhunam vinasaya chadushkitam dharma samstapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna says, although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion. I myself appear millennium after millennium. So we have observed in recent history, particularly in the previous 100 years, there are many incarnations appearing, mostly out of India, and travelling to the West, where they saw a very lucrative market. And of course, on one particular occasion, Prabhupada and his disciples were talking, and Prabhupada said, we shouldn't even talk about these people, because their activities are so unmentionable. There are a couple of famous examples of these incarnations of Krishna. As we found out in due course of time, they were very, very ordinary people. Nothing extraordinary about them at all. Neither did they have the extraordinary beauty or any extraordinary capabilities, which are the characteristics of Krishna, isn't it? When Krishna comes, he's extraordinarily beautiful. And he performs extraordinary activities. Of course, when Krishna was here, Prabhupada said that not many people actually recognized him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only his intimate devotees understand who he is. Of course, it goes without saying that to understand Krishna ultimately depends upon him letting us know him. Otherwise, how do we know him? How do we know him? He has to reveal himself. During the mid-80s, I think it was, when we were in North Sydney, a young man came to the temple and he brought some pamphlets with him. He was announcing the tour of Kalki Avatar. So there's another incarnation who was coming from India on his preaching tour. So this Kalki Avatar looked at the picture. It was an elderly English gentleman with receding silver hair and dressed in the usual, it's like the national dress for many men over there. They wear these slacks, these brown slacks, and they wear these button-up shirts, short sleeve. And I was thinking at the time, I said, yes, thank you very much. And after he left, of course, they went in the bin. So this is the extraordinary things that are happening in this modern age. And people are accepting that here is incarnation. And it's quite sad, actually. But we read from the Bhagavatam, we read the pastimes, and we learn about the qualities of these personalities of God, and all of their activities are extraordinary. So we shouldn't accept these modern false incarnations. We're simply making a show or something, isn't it? Some of these, one particular so-called incarnation was very expert at producing something in his hand. But there are many magicians when you look at them and they produce these things. You wonder, how the hell do they do that? Right? But they're just magicians. So when some incarnation comes along and you produce something from his hand, everyone becomes completely captivated. They think, oh, Hare Krishna, you know? But what is it? It's simply magic. If they are actually, why don't they produce something great? Instead of producing some ash, or maybe a sweet. What are they, and as far as philosophically goes, or for the religious upliftment of people, what have they actually given? What have they given which can compare with Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita? Maybe they've commandeered some parts of that and represented it in some fashion, but they've not given us anything new or extraordinary. So as we go read on further, we'll find there is amazing knowledge given by Kapiladeva about how to perform devotional service and all of its characteristics. This just something I want to read you, if you just be patient with me. When Krishna was present, I guess he was the original rascal. It was Pundraka. Anyone know about Pundraka? He was an impersonator of Krishna. He even had some false arms attached to his body, so he appeared like four-armed. So I just wanted to read a little bit of that narration from the. This is chapter 66 of the Krishna book. Prabhupada said, "The story of King Pundraka is very interesting because it proves that there have always been many rascals and fools who have considered themselves God. Even in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, he was such a foolish person. His name was Pundraka, and he wanted to declare himself God. Well, while Lord Balaram was absent in Vrindavan, this king, Pundraka, the king of Kurusa province, being foolish and puffed up, sent a messenger to Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but King Pundraka directly challenged Krishna through the messenger, who stated that Pundraka, not Krishna, was Vasudev. In the present day, there are many foolish followers of such rascals. Similarly, in Pundraka's day, many foolish men accepted Pundraka as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he could not estimate his own position, Pundraka falsely thought himself to be Lord Vasudev. Thus the messenger declared to Krishna that King Pundraka, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, descended to the earth out of his causeless mercy, just to deliver all distressed persons. Surrounded by many other foolish persons, this rascal Pundraka had actually concluded that he was Vasudev." This is the position of some of these modern incarnations. They actually start to believe what they are. They actually believe themselves as some special soul. "This kind of conclusion is certainly childish. When children are playing, they sometimes select the king amongst themselves, and the selected child may think that he is actually the king. Similarly, many foolish persons, due to ignorance, select another fool as God, and then the rascal actually considers himself God, as if God could be created by childish play or by the votes of men. Under this false impression, thinking oneself the Supreme Lord, Pundraka sent his messenger to Dwarka to challenge the position of Krishna. The messenger reached the royal assembly of Krishna and Dwarka, conveyed the message given by his master Pundraka. The message contained the following statements: 'I am the only Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. No man can compete with me. I have descended as King Pundraka, taking compassion on the distressed conditioned souls out of my unlimited causeless mercy. You have falsely taken the position of Vasudev without authority.'" He's talking about Krishna here. "But you should not propagate this false idea. You must give up your position, O descendant of the Yadu dynasty. Please give up all these symbols of Vasudev, which you have falsely assumed. And after giving up this position, come and surrender unto me. If out of your gross impudence you do not care for my words, then I shall challenge you to fight. I am inviting you to battle, in which the decision will be settled. When all the members of the royal assembly, including King Urvasain, heard this message sent by Pondraka, they laughed very loudly for a considerable time. After enjoying the loud laughter of all the members of the assembly, Krishna replied to the messenger as follows: "O messenger of Pondraka, you may carry my message to your master as follows. You are a foolish rascal. I directly call you a rascal, and I refuse to follow your instructions. I shall never give up the symbols of Vasudeva, especially my disc. I shall use this disc to kill not only you, but all your followers also. I shall destroy you and your foolish associates, who merely constitute a society of cheaters and the cheated. O foolish king, you will then have to conceal your face in disgrace, and when your head is severed from your body by my disc, it will be surrounded by meat-eating birds like vultures, hawks, and eagles. At that time, instead of becoming my shelter, as you have demanded, you will be subject to the mercy of these low-born birds. At that time, your body will be thrown to the dogs, who will eat it with great pleasure." So you better stay on the right side of Krishna, isn't it? Otherwise, the future's not looking very good. So, some other things I just wanted to touch on. Srila Prabhupada mentioned the Vedas are meant to elevate one from the mode of ignorance to the platform of goodness. So for us in our spiritual life, we should always be striving to remain in the mode of goodness. As Krishna says in the Gita, from the mode of goodness, real knowledge develops. If we want to understand things more and more, we have to maintain that mode of goodness and work at purifying our hearts. Prabhupada says faith comes from purity. So the more pure your heart becomes, the more your faith increases. They sort of all work together, and you hear the scripture and you increase your knowledge. As mentioned in the first canto of Bhagavatam, Simvatam Saikatara Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana Vidyantasto Hibadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart, and the benefactor and well-wisher of the truthful devotee, cleanses material desire from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So, maintaining the mode of goodness and also maintaining that desire to hear about Krishna. This is the cure for our material disease, hearing about Krishna. The word, this is from the first canto, chapter 3, and it's text number 44. Srila Prabhupada writes, "The word nivishta means that Suta Goswami drank the juice of Bhagavatam through his ears. That is the real process of receiving Bhagavatam. One should hear with rapt attention from the real person, and then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here." So here are the important points. "No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing and mating. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning one can assuredly see Lord Krishna in person in the pages of Bhagavatam. So that's quite an amazing put forward there. So there's a few of those points again. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. Srila Prabhupada has given us a process which, if followed very carefully, will give us great results. But it must be done very carefully and according to the rules and regulations. Of course, our position in Kali Yuga, it's very downtrodden. But Srila Prabhupada is the expert physician. They've given us a total package for cure. And if we follow that very carefully, we'll go ahead in leaps and bounds. Of course, for some of us, we don't take the medicine as per the prescription. We may take it whimsically. We're not consistent in the application of the process. And therefore, we do not get the desired results. Of course, the process of devotional service largely depends upon purification of our existence. And one thing I've been meditating on recently, we all have this thing called a closet within our heart. And we put stuff away there. We stash it away. As we heard before, Sri Krishna cleanses desire from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages. So the more we hear about Krishna and take that deeply into our hearts and abide by his instructions, then that accumulation of all that junk that's in our heart can be cleared out. Of course, we've got to let it go. Some of those things we've got stashed away are very obvious to others, our seniors and our superiors and even our peers. They can see those things. We think we've covered them up, but those who are expert, they can see them. Of course, the heart is a deep repository of all sorts of things we've carried from time immemorial. You know, we think of our existence in terms of this body, isn't it? But in order to reach this body, according to what I've heard from Prabhupada, you've been to at least 8,400,000 species just to get here. But who knows how many times you've been through. That's why this human form of life is a very serious business. Prabhupada said it's the only opportunity where you can take up the fight against Maya. Right? It's the only opportunity. Can you see any other animal species that has an opportunity to take up the fight? None of them have that facility the human life offers. So Srila Prabhupada was working feverishly and earnestly to try and elevate everyone. As we mentioned before, Prabhupada's mood was that he wanted to create a revolution in this modern society, a peaceful revolution. Most revolutions we see in the modern society are all based on violence and killing and butchering people mercilessly. And we see that going on around the planet right now. People are just being blown to bits. So Prabhupada's vision was to create this peaceful revolution where we would drop these bombs, these books into the laps of the conditioned souls. That was Prabhupada's words, into the laps of the conditioned souls. And we saw that Srila Prabhupada was often very deeply affected by this. He would often cry about how people were suffering so much. Of course, his compassion was not based upon their bodily situation. He was seeing that these are all pure spirit souls. They're all meant to be engaged with their supreme loving object, the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna. They're meant to be with him, enjoying perpetually. But they're suffering in this material world. And there's plenty of us here, isn't it? This universe, we understand, is one small universe in amongst billions of universes. And when you look at this planet, There are so many living entities. Now, we see so many people in this room, but how many other jivas are in this room? There's millions of them in here. Billions, in fact, in this one room. And they've all chosen to be separate from Krishna. When you look at that, actually, if you study anything minutely, you come to the point, you become stunned of inconceivability about how all this is going on and how we've come here. And how we're all enjoying this material world. So Srila Prabhupada, out of his compassion, he worked tirelessly to spread this knowledge around the world. Of course, looking at things from the time, you say from a universal point of view, you know, where the universe exists for so many billions of years, right? So, just seeing that Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago, from the universal point of view, it's like an hour ago, isn't it? It's very recent. The point I was trying to make there was that time is also a very interesting thing. Of course, time is very stolen away very quickly. But this spot life, Srila Prabhupada referred to, it seems like a long time, doesn't it? Your life is made up of so many hours, which is so many days, thousands and thousands of days, and it's developed into many, many years. But when looked at from a higher platform, it's just it's a very brief time. It's a very brief time, isn't it? We become so absorbed in our existence and thinking it will go on perpetually. But unfortunately, everything will come to an end. As Krishna says in the Gita, for one who is born, death is certain. And for one who dies, birth is also certain. One verse which we didn't read before is that Krishna says, one who knows the transitory nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving this body, take birth again in this material world, but attains to my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So the goal of all our activities ultimately is to become Krishna conscious. That is the nature of the spiritual world. All living entities there are completely focused on their relationship with Krishna and their service to Krishna. So in our own lives, whatever we're doing, the point is to become Krishna conscious. Often we do things in a very shallow way, just doing things externally, and we don't work deeply on the heart. It often goes, even with our chanting, we see that the chanting is a very important process, but when we analyse our japa sometimes, we can become a little disappointed, because sometimes you'll sit there, we're discussing the other day with Gopi Vrindesh, sometimes japa is like muzak. You know what muzak is? It's what they play in the supermarkets. I don't know if you notice, but every shopping centre you go to this day, we're just so used to it, we don't hear it or even think about it. There's always this music going in the background. And that music is to put you in the mood, right, for spending. Anyway, sometimes we can be doing or thinking about a multitude of things, and we don't really hear that japa. But for a devotee, the most important activity, I would say, when all is said and done, is chanting your japa. It's a time for intimate association with the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada says that Krishna is non-different from his name. He's non-different. But we probably don't appreciate that sometimes. Even sometimes, it's quite challenging sometimes to chant the holy name. You almost want to spit it out, isn't it? So we're so unfortunate that we have no attraction sometimes to chanting the holy name. But we should be hanging on to that holy name with our dear life. And Prabhupada also says that Krishna is present in his words. He talks specifically about it. Sometimes people say, well, Arjuna, he had it lucky, you know, he had Krishna right by his side. Prabhupada said, oh, Krishna is personally present in those verses in the Gita and in the Bhagavatam. He's personally present. So it's such a boon. When you think of that, it's such a boon that Krishna is right here. Right? He's right here in these words in the Bhagavatam. And in the Gita, you can have constant, uninterrupted association with the Supreme Lord just by hearing his words and repeating his words. So it's quite an amazing process that we have an opportunity to participate in. So I think I'll just... and there. Just see if there's anything I missed that I was going to say. Okay, any questions or any comments? Anything? Sometimes we wonder if this thing. Exactly what you're trying to say there.
And then, for example, Nrisimha Dev appeared before Krishna. Yeah. His devotees would see him as that form as being the original form of God because they didn't have the experience of Krishna.
To that question, but one thing we can be grateful for is Srila Prabhupada has made everything very simple for us, and he's taken all that ocean of knowledge that's out there, and he's condensed that, and as he said, I've presented it very simply for the modern man. And in Srila Prabhupada's books we find he's very clearly enunciated who the different incarnations are and what their purposes are. And he specifically recommended worship of Radha and Krishna as opposed to worship of the other incarnations. And Lord Chaitanya reinforced that when he came. Chanting Hare Krishna and worshipping God in the form of Radha Krishna. Of course, those incarnations, they come at certain periods of time for a certain purpose. and to enact certain pastimes. But we worship them all, as Prabhupada said, and the Sringadeva is my worshipful Lord, he said. Prabhupada used those words. So we worship and honour them all. But Śrīla Prabhupāda has specifically given us Radha Krishna, as opposed to Lakshmi Narayana. He's given us Radha Krishna, he's given us Śrī Śrī Gaura-nitāya, and he's given us Jagannath, Baladeva and Subhadra. Now we may have attraction for other features of Krishna and his different incarnations. We should be attracted to them all. But as we've said, Śrīla Prabhupāda gave us a process of who our deity should be in this particular age in which we're living.
As you said, human body is so precious. We must be Krishna conscious. And Krishna himself is saying, Anya śrityantu maam yejana paripāste peshāmit vyuktanam yokhyam unyam. 9th chapter, 22nd verse. That I'll take care of everything. Whatever you have got, yokhyam. And what you haven't got, I'll give you. So people are in ignorance. That's why, otherwise if there is no reason, why we should not remember Krishna. That's why we focus and say, remember, always remember Krishna, never forget. So, that's why Prabhupada is giving so many books. Still people don't want to read them. They just keep in their shell and follow it. And they don't want to come to temple either. You tell them so many things. They won't hear. Krishna, you said Krishna is coming again and again as incarnation. To give us the knowledge so that we are attracted and go back to him. We are such fools and rascals, what Prabhupada said. We don't want to hear anything. We just want to enjoy our senses.
Śrīla Prabhupāda says in the in one purport in the Gita, there's not many men or people who actually want to go back to Godhead.
Sorry.
Because we're going through the motions, and sometimes we have to ask ourselves, am I really serious? Am I really serious about going back to Godhead? There was one time when Prabhupāda, a couple of occasions when Prabhupāda sort of criticised his disciples. He said, the problem is you don't believe that Krishna is a person. So we go through all these motions in devotional service and do all these different things. And do we really deeply believe that Krishna or God is a person who we can have a personal relationship with?
They don't want to serve Krishna. They want to serve their own senses.
That's true. We're all victims of that. So Śrīla Prabhupāda has tried to re-educate us of where our energies should be focused. And for most of us, unfortunately, that's a very slow process. It's a very slow process. Prabhupāda says one can become Krishna conscious in a moment. He said it's just a question of understanding and accepting the fact. Right? So when I read that purport, I find that extraordinary. One can become Krishna conscious in a moment. But for us, you know, we really stretch it. You know? We're always thinking, generally, tomorrow. Because today I've got so many things to think about. As we were talking about japa before, one of the challenges when we're chanting our japa is to think only of Krishna's name. But the mind is just constantly wanting to go here and there. And that requires constant practice and determination to always focus strongly on hearing Krishna's name. Anything else? Well, thank you very much. All glories to Śrīla Prabhupāda.